November 12th is such a special day because we're all sitting here together. And so it is special. It's the day the Lord made. And I bet some of you out there have AAA. And what does AAA do? Well, theoretically, it comes to help you in your time of need with your automobile. This morning, the Lord is going to be talking to us about AAA. And that stands for Angels All Around. And there's no subscription fee for that. Only that you trust in the Lord Jesus. Now here we are. This is our third week in the book of Hebrews. And amazingly, we've only waded through five verses, if you're counting. So, there being about 303 verses in the book of Hebrews, and we average, say, six every 2 weeks, we'll be done in 101 weeks. Yeah. Well, actually, it won't take quite that long. I'm joking a little bit here. But seriously, if you are here every Sunday, even if it takes 101 weeks, you will have a deeper knowing of Jesus Christ our Lord. You can't help it because it's all in this book. Let's read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And of the angels, he says, "Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." Go spend a little time on angels. And there's a reason for that. Angels are the highest created beings. And if worship is necessary for them, verse 6, he says, "Let the angels of God worship him." They are to worship Jesus Christ. And if it's important and necessary for them to worship Jesus Christ, those who are less in their faculties and quite a bit lower in their positions, that's us, we need to worship him too. We need to worship him because it is it's right for our development as beings. Angels, being holy and intelligent, they worship Christ. So that tells you something right then and there that he is worthy to be worshipped. Angels would not worship someone who was not worthy of it. So if angels, even the high-ranking angels, because I believe there's some ranks in the angelic field, even the high-ranking angels worship Christ, then it's logical that the most intelligent, the wisest, the mightiest, the most exalted of mankind should worship Jesus Christ. It's logical. Angels are commanded to worship Christ. He's their creator. He's their sustainer. Those are pretty good reasons for us, too. there's a mightier force for us than those two. He's our Savior. He gave himself for us. He died for us. He redeemed us with his blood. And right now, he ever lives to make intercession for us. Wow. Those are very sacred obligations that bind us to him. You see, when we pray clumsily, maybe a little selfishly sometimes. Lord, heal me, or my friend, or, I mean, that's a selfish prayer. But Jesus receives that, and then he edits it. You know, he corrects my spelling mistakes and my grammar mistakes, and he rearranges it and gives it to the Father and presents it to the Father and says, Judy prayed thus, and it's in your will, Lord, so grant it. That's what he intercedes for us. What were your thoughts about verse 7 that I read? Just a quick, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? What went through your mind? I had to sit still and I had to think about that, or if you want to use the word meditate, before I even attempted to go further or deeper into that verse. See, God made all the angels. Now they're spirits, but sometimes he gives them form. Sometimes they're in the form of a human. Maybe they're in the form of a burning bush or a pool of water that is stirring and bubbling. I don't know. But he can do that. And he does do that for his purposes. Sometimes, think about this one. Sometimes he makes us an angel for somebody else that's in need. Now, I had that happen to me when I was a young boy. I was a teenager. And I was out coming home from one of my nights with my friends. But that particular night, I chose to come home the back road, the lonely road that has no streetlights. And as I come around that last turn at the four corners, and I'm getting a little bit closer to where civilization is, there's this car there. And I go by it, I kind of look inside. This is like 2 a.m, folks. There's an old couple in there. And they don't look comfortable. So I stop. And I swing around, put my headlights in the front of their car, and I get out cautiously and tap on the window. You guys okay? No, the car died. Won't start. So, okay. Want me to look at it? You see, whenever I fix my car, I keep the spare parts in the trunk. And I was running a Chevrolet back then, and they were driving an Oldsmobile. They're both General Motors. And so I opened the hood, and I said, okay, start checking. You got no spark here. See, in those days, it wasn't a computer-driven ignition system. So I said, you have no spark here. Let me check a little bit further. I said, kind of looks like your rotor is not distributing the spark to the spark plugs. I just happen to have one in the trunk, and I pull it out, and I put it on it, same spark plug, different motor, but same distributor. So try that. Boom, starts right up. See ya. Off they go. Now, at the time, I didn't think about it, but God made me an angel to that old couple that was sitting there in fear that somebody would come by that was not quite so friendly. And he can do that to you. And he does do that to you. Because all angels are ministers and messengers of God. And he says, go, they go. And he says, come, they come. And when he says, do this, they do it. All are his servants. And a certain amount of them are his personal creatures. And he gives them extraordinary abilities and powers. Read Revelation. He's got angels holding back the winds on the four corners of the earth. And he works wonders in this kingdom of nature. This world that we live in. Do you think you have a guardian angel? I see one nodding. Do you think you have a guardian angel? Well, keep thinking, or think again, because Scripture says you have more than one angel looking out over you. Lord knows I need it. Matthew 18:10 says, take heed that you do not despair one of these little ones, for I say to you in heaven, their angels, plural, always see the face of my Father who's in heaven. God's little ones have more than one angel looking out after them. It's plural. Psalm 91. In fact, you should read the whole psalm. I'm not going to, but you should. Psalm 91, verse 11. He gives his angels charge over you. Now, Psalm 91 is talking about people. It isn't talking about Jesus Christ there. It's talking about people, Israel. He says, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And in their hands, again, more than one angel, shall bear you up. So we have a whole bunch of angels keeping us safe, watching over us. But if you want to believe you only have one, that's okay. If God opened your eyes, here's a good, if he opened your eyes today, what would you see? Angels escorting your child to school, maybe? Angels in front of you protecting you from that crazy driver? Guiding the hand of the surgeon that's operating? Angels standing guard over you while you sleep. Now, does everybody have an angel looking over them? I'm going to say no. Because Scripture says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. So you have to be a believer. You have to have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then you are assigned angels of protection. Now it says he makes his angels a spirit. You that know Greek, Hebrew 2, spirit can mean breeze or wind. They're not cute little babies, you know, with that little bow and arrow shooting the arrow of love into your heart. They don't look like that. They're powerful warriors is what they are. Protecting God's anointed. There are over 300 references to angels in Scripture. And they are always described with two words. Many and mighty. Think about it. Think about the Scripture you've read. It only took one angel to shut the mouth of the lions for Daniel. Just one. How many angels escorted Peter out of the prison? One. And the amazing thing about that, as they walked, right? Peter and the angel. And Peter still doesn't comprehend what's going on here. And the gates just open up before the angel. Nobody touched the gates. These are the astonishing and extraordinary powers that the Lord gives them to serve his purpose. Okay, while we're talking about Peter's prison break here, let's look at what happened after he got out. And he goes over to the house of his friends that were gathering, praying for him, and he's knocking and pounding on the gate. What did they say? Acts 12, verse 13. As Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, so that means she couldn't see through the solid gate, because of her gladness, she didn't open the gate, but ran in to announce that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You're crazy." But no. "Are you beside yourself?" Which means, "You're crazy." Yet she insisted it was so. They said, "It's his angel. It's his angel." Everybody thought, that's just Peter's angel out there knocking. It was acceptable to believe that angels would come before us and do things for us. Do you think it's any less now than it was then? It isn't. Whatever God did then, he does now. How about Elisha's servant? Great example there. The Syrian army is surrounding the city of Dothan. And his servant says, "Oh, master, we're doomed." And Elisha asked the Lord to open his servant's eyes. And Scripture says, when the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. 2 Kings 6, 17. So why would anybody think that God only did those things then and he doesn't do them now? He does. Is he not Alpha and Omega? The first, the last, the beginning, the end? Same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He hasn't changed. All you have to do is read Revelation. And you will see just how mighty angels are. And then, after you read the book, believe. Verse 8. Back to Hebrews, verse 8. But to the Son, oh, I love this verse. But to the Son, he, God the Father, says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." That is the strongest affirmation that Christ is God. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. We read that angels minister before the throne. They don't sit on the throne. And when Christ ascended into the heavenly, he was anointed with the oil of gladness, it says. Here we have one person calling another person God. So we have God the Father calling Jesus Christ God. And if God the Father declares that Jesus is God, then it must be so, guys. Don't let anyone tell you he's not God. He's not a brother of Lucifer. He's not a brother of Michael. He really and truly is God. God calls people and things what they are because he can't do anything else. He can't lie. So he tells it as it is. Now, some of us don't like to be told as it is. Nobody likes to be told you're a brat. You're a liar. Whatever they tell you. If it's true, it shouldn't bother you. Change, and then nobody will call you that anymore. Secondly, God declares Christ's dignity and dominion as having a throne, a kingdom, a scepter of that kingdom. And Jesus has all the right, all the rule, all the authority, and all the power. As the God of nature, grace, and glory, and as our mediator. And I'm so glad he's our mediator. And then thirdly, God declares the eternal duration of the dominion and the dignity of Christ. He says, your throne, O God. He's calling Jesus God here. It's forever and ever. It's for everlasting to everlasting. It's all through the ages of time and until there's no time anymore. That's how long his dominion is going to last. And he says, therefore, God, Jesus God, your God, God the Father, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Or some versions say more than your fellows. Who are Christ's fellows or companions? Well, as God, there's nobody equal to him except God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. All three are equal. They're all one. But as man, see, Jesus was the God-man. So as man, he had companions. And as anointed with the oil of gladness, Jesus is higher than all of them. He's above the angels. He's above his messengers. He employs them in his service. He's above all the prophets and all the priests, all the kings that were ever anointed, because they were anointed for his service on earth. He's above all the saints who are his brethren. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are children of God. He's above every single one of them that was related to him. Above the house of David. Above the whole tribe of Judah. Because all of God's other anointed ones, they had the Spirit in a certain measure. You read about it in Samson. He used Samson. He said, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. It was for that purpose right then and there. But Christ, He has the Spirit above measure. He has it without limitation. And because of that, no one can do the work that Christ did. Only Him. And none of them take pleasure in it as Christ did. For the joy that was set before Him, He went to the cross. The joy that was before Him. And that's because He was anointed with the oil of gladness above all. And so, Lord, as we ponder all these thoughts this week, convince us in our mind, if we have any doubt, that Jesus Christ is God. And we thank You for spelling it out so clearly, so that when those that come to us and try to tell us otherwise, we can bring them to this scripture and say, read Hebrews 8. Read Hebrews verse 9 of 1. Be with every one of us now this week, Lord. And if it be Your pleasure, show us. Open our eyes a little bit, Lord, to we may view the glory that You bestow upon us. In Jesus' name we come to You. Amen. January Singh will be here at Wonder.